You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
From the G Family Performance Center in Edmond, Oklahoma, it is another episode of the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am your gracious and humble host, Derek G, saying thank you so much for making us a part of your day. And coming up on today's episode, I'm going to give you reasons why if sports gambling was legal in Oklahoma, I know we used to say for entertainment purposes only, and if you're going to Vegas, why you want to lay money on OU this week. I'll also give you some reasons on maybe why you stay away from Oklahoma and lay money on Iowa State. Plus, we'll do a little bit of scouting of the Cyclones. We'll talk about the offensive line versus the defensive line. And there is something that I would definitely do if I was Lincoln Riley in this game. There's a guy I would target. I would go after him early. I would tell you exactly who that guy is and why it's going to be a major advantage for OU if they decide to play it that way. In segment number two, we're going to talk about how freshmen are more equipped to become leaders today than maybe they were in the past. We've seen freshmen be ready physically to play college football, but it's a group of freshmen who are starting to change the culture at OU, or at least a couple of freshmen, one redshirt, one true, that are really holding people accountable. And I'll tell you why I think that is. Plus, we'll talk about protecting the OU brand. Forbes released some information about OU and where they rank amongst all the big-time college football programs in revenue and off-the-field money, who they tie with. So what does that mean to Joe Castiglione, and how defining what the OU brand really is, and then making sure that that brand stays sterling. And how do Joe Castiglione and Lincoln Riley go about doing that? And then finally, we'll talk a little bit about Oregon State. That's where Addison Gums ended up, and I've been meaning to talk about that for the last couple of podcasts, but he's not the only transfer student who was a big-time recruit that has now ended up at that OSU. So, is there something fishy going on in Corvallis, Oregon? We'll discuss. I'll throw out a hot opinion with really nothing to back it up. And then I will also tell you why, no matter what anyone does on the field this week, it doesn't matter if Kyler Murray throws for six touchdowns and runs for six, or, okay, take those stats for what they are. It doesn't matter if Mark Jackson has seven or eight sacks, or it doesn't matter if Curtis Bolton has 30 tackles in this game. Lincoln Riley is this week's most valuable Sooner, and we will get to that at the end of the show. My name's Eric G. I co-host Saturday Game Day with Randy Renner on 1340 The Game and News Radio 1000 KTOK. It airs on Saturdays. That's why it's called Saturday Game Day. 5 a.m. on News Radio 1000 KTOK, and then again at 9 a.m. on 1340 The Game and around the state via the Oklahoma News Network at different times. And we thank you so much for listening to that. You can listen on the iHeartRadio app. I've covered OU for 4 1/3 years. I'm extremely excited to be back on the beat and extremely excited to be doing this podcast for the Locked On Podcast Network. The Oklahoma Sooners will roll into Ames this week as a 17.5-point favorite to Iowa State. Now, the good folks at Vegas Insider started OU out as a 19-point favorite, which might seem a little bit high, and now that's been bet down. And I know that you might be a little gun-shy in wanting to put money on OU if gambling was legal here in Oklahoma, which it soon should be. I know you might not want to do that after what happened last week at UCLA and how we've seen teams cover late and get those backdoor covers. But I'll tell you why you should lay money on OU now. Because OU on this current 16-game road winning streak is 11-5 against the spread. And I don't see any reason why OU shouldn't cover this week. The only way OU doesn't cover. Now remember, for Iowa State, this is going to be a very emotional game. They're just coming off a win or a loss to their big rivals, Iowa. Didn't get the Cy-Hawk Trophy. First conference game. They beat OU last year. They want to prove that it wasn't a fluke. And just side note, Iowa State has added a 12th game of the year with Incarnate Word. Not that that really matters to the conversation, but I thought I'd throw it in because I read that today online. So for those of you that were worried about Iowa State not getting their 12th game because of the South Dakota State cancellation, they will now play Incarnate Word. Although they won't play them if they happen to qualify for the Big 12 championship. But Iowa State is that program that's on the rise. And last year, they proved a point. They came in, they shocked OU, and right now, they want to show everyone that, hey, it's not a fluke that they can compete in the Big 12 with the likes of Oklahoma, and they've got a good defensive line, really good defensive line. In fact, let's talk about that defensive line now with Oklahoma offensive lineman Ben Powers.
They like to get dirty. They put their nose in the ground, and they work it out.
The other thing Iowa State is very well coached. Matt Campbell did a great job at Toledo. Changing a culture like Iowa State is not the easiest thing in the world to do. It's one of the toughest places in the world to recruit. You're always going to be behind not only everybody in the Big 12, save for Kansas, but you're also having to deal with Big Ten country. And the best kids from Iowa, you're having to talk them out of going to the University of Iowa, or maybe possibly going to other Big Ten schools to compete in that conference. Because you have to figure that every kid that grew up in the state of Iowa, or just about every kid that grew up in the state of Iowa, unless their family was an Iowa State family, probably Big Ten, and feel a lot closer to that conference than they do the Big 12. Still, that being said, Lincoln Riley has a tremendous amount of respect for Matt Campbell and the job that he's done there.
You know, Coach Campbell's done a tremendous job at Iowa State. You know, it's really an understatement. One of the most improved teams, you know, really probably in the country over the last few years. Obviously, we had a heck of a game with them last year. They had a great season, knocked off a lot of really good football teams, won a lot of games. They're very, very well coached. I mean, all the way around, you know, defensively, you look at them and, you know, I thought they were one of the top defenses in our league and in the country last year, and they really proved that throughout the year. They're one of the best tackling units that we've seen or will face. I thought probably last year, I thought they were probably the best individually, just straight tackling. They were probably the best that we saw all year, including Georgia, Ohio State, TCU, all the other fantastic defenses that we played. This group did the best job of tackling. And so they really make you work. They're very smart schematically. I think their personnel is continuing to improve as they recruit better and better. So they're certainly a challenge defensively. Offensively, again, they move the ball well. Obviously, Kemp, the quarterback, came in last year against us and played extremely well. I know he's, we're not sure exactly which quarterback we're going to see again, but that's kind of been the theme this year. So really, really nothing new there. But they do some very good things schematically that put you in a bind. And then I think we're going to see one of the best running backs in the conference. Their guy's really, really a physical player, does some really, really nice things on film, very difficult to tackle. So that'll be, slowing him down is going to be a big key to the game, regardless of who's at quarterback.
If Iowa State's defensive line can be extremely physical with OU the way that they were last year, and if for some reason OU's offensive line has a bad game and we see them getting pushed back and OU's not able to establish a run game, granted, Kyler Murray should be able to open that up, which is one of the reasons why I'm not really worried about this game. But if for some reason Kyler Murray's off and OU can't run the ball, then things could get a little nerve-wracking for OU, and you're going to have to not only rely on the defense to carry you through a game, which honestly, I'm going to tell you now, I wouldn't mind seeing that. I would not mind seeing the offense have a dreadful day, either this week versus Iowa State or maybe in a couple of weeks versus Texas, and have the defense have to step up big and make some plays so they can show everyone what their worth is. But now you're also looking at big plays in the special teams, which OU is going to need to make and have been making so far this year. And one of the things that I would do if I was Lincoln Riley in this game is I would target Iowa State's punter. Yes, you heard me right. I would target Iowa State's punter because I'm worried about this kid's, well, at least if I'm Matt Campbell, I'm a little worried about this kid's psyche. Corey Dunn is his name. And last week he did have a couple of punts that were over 50 yards, but he also had a couple of punts that he shanked. And when a kid has shanked a couple of punts, and look, if Iowa State is not moving the ball, if Zeb Nolan's playing quarterback, and they're not moving the ball, and Iowa State's not able to run, and if I'm OU, that's how you play this game. You make sure that Iowa State can't run the ball. You put it in the hands of their quarterback, either Kemp or Zeb Nolan, and then you go after Corey Dunn in special teams. I would, depending on field position, obviously, but I would look at least line up to try and block a couple of his punts and just to see where this kid is mentally and see if he is still shaken from what he did last week. And if he's not, it's no harm, no foul. But even if OU isn't doing what they did in week one, and that's blocking punts, I'm expecting some big things in special teams. I've grown to expect that. After two games, I just expect big plays in special teams during every single game. The news about Kyle Kemp. Yes, I know that we've waited this long into the podcast to get to it, and I know that that's something you really want to know about when it comes to OU and who they're dealing with this week. Kyle Kemp actually was braced up, had his knee in a brace for the first couple of days of practice, but seems to be progressing just fine, at least according to Matt Campbell, the Iowa State head coach. And at this point, he is a game-time decision, or at least a decision for the Iowa State Cyclones to be making a little bit later in the week. As a matter of fact, he was braced on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and they were reevaluating him after today to see where he is. And unfortunately, we're recording this podcast early, so we may have news on Kyle Kemp by the time that this is published. So I'm sorry if that's a little bit late, and then we'll discuss it on Friday's podcast. But whether it's Zeb Nolan or Kyle Kemp, those are the guys I want to make beat me. I want to see if they can do something amazing, if they can connect with those receivers. And I want to see if those receivers can actually do something against OU's defensive backs. And maybe I just have too much faith in OU's defense, but I expect them to play outstanding this week. In all three phases of the game, I'm expecting OU to be good. I'm expecting them to roll to another win. And if they don't, it's not the end of the world, depending on how they win. But if they can't roll and they start to look a little bit shaky and some of the old habits that we saw last year develop, then I'll worry. But at this point in time, I'm feeling very confident about OU going up to Ames and being a 17.5-point favorite and coming away not only 3-0, but 1-0 in the Big 12.
Coming up next, I'll tell you why freshmen are more equipped to become leaders than they were maybe 20 years ago. It's on Locked On Sooners.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast.
Locked On Thunder will be out today around 4:30 or so. And yes, we'll definitely be talking about Russell Westbrook, his surgery, what that means for the Thunder, who the starting five might be. And because Andre Robertson's out, I'm so excited about this. It looks like my favorite Thunder player might actually get some significant time in the first few games. In fact, he may start. So who is my favorite Thunder player? Well, you'll have to listen to Locked On Thunder to find out and hear why I'm so giddy about the prospect of Russ maybe missing a couple of games. Normally I wouldn't be, but under these circumstances, I'm really excited about it. That's Locked On Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, found at LockedOnThunder.com, LockedOnSports.com, Apple iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, and Alexa. And in fact, that's where you can find all the Locked On podcasts, including Locked On Sooners, which you are listening to right now. Yesterday's podcast, which is always the Wednesday podcast, is always dedicated to the defense. We got into this change of culture that's going on at OU. And Justin Broyles brought it up during his media scrum. And then every other player that came in was asked about it. And to a man, everybody said, yes, there is definitely something different. It's much more of a tighter family. Film is becoming more important. Guys are holding each other accountable. We're not just hanging out on the field. We're hanging out off the field. And if there's ever an issue, it's not just the coaches now you have to answer to. You've got to answer to the other players, which is the sign of a really good team. When the players are holding each other accountable, it's a lot worse. And think about this from your standpoint for a second. When you screw up at work, especially if you work in any sort of team atmosphere, whether it's a sales team, whether you're doing construction, whether you're having to make pitches, whatever the deal is, when everybody has their own part, when you screw up answering to your boss is one thing, because you can always kind of blow off your boss and say, well, he doesn't understand my circumstances. He doesn't know what I was going through this particular week. I'm sorry I let him down, but hey, my life's kind of a mess right now. Answering to your coworkers, though, that is different, and that hurts a lot more. And you feel that sting much deeper than you ever will when you screw over your boss, unless you and your boss are close. And I know that that happens sometime, but for the most part, letting down your coworkers can sink you emotionally. And when that trust is gone, it's very difficult to get back. And I say that as somebody who's been in that position. That's a good thing. That's how teams get tight. OU, I love the fact that they're operating that way. I also love the fact that guys like Justin Broyles, who's a redshirt freshman, and Buki Radley-Hiles, who's a true freshman, are sort of orchestrating all this. And they have this energy that everybody's feeding off of now. And I started thinking about it, you know, how often do we see freshmen become leaders? And you really don't have to look that far around college football to find a lot of freshmen that are leaders. Now, it's easy when the guy's a quarterback to say he's a leader, or maybe even a stud running back or a stud linebacker to say, okay, well, this guy is obviously a natural born leader. But I think it goes a little bit deeper. And we've talked so much about how kids today understand nutrition. They take care of their bodies. They're more business minded than what they have been in the past. And I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing at all, to be more business minded. And even though you may be dealing with some crazy parents who see football only as a means to an end and as business, and they suck the fun out of it, kids, by going through some of those trials, learn how to lead. They learn what ultimately it takes to become the absolute best at their position, and they learn how to pass that on to other guys around them just by going through that experience. And as much as we want to get down on millennials, as much as we want to get down on even the generation younger than them, because they have access to more information, and because there are more brains you can pick via social media, via just the internet in general, and there's more people you can talk to, the more information you have, the more you learn. I don't think any one of these kids, I don't think all of these kids are just figuring it out on their own. There are mentors, and they're not as trusting as they used to be. And that's something that I've definitely noticed. They're not as trusting. In other words, you tell them to go do something, they may do it, but they want to know why. You always have to give the why. And because they're willing to ask that question, they start to decipher things. They start to learn. They're more observant about the atmosphere around them. And that's something that Justin Broyles last year sat and watched this team closely, not just on the field, not just in the film room, but he watched them as a culture. And as a result of watching, he knew there were things that he could change, and he just needed to find his running mate to help him change that, and that's what he got in Buki Radley-Hiles. And you're just going to see this in college football all over the country, is that kids are going to come in, they're going to be more physically ready to play, they're going to be more mentally ready to play, and because they can perform and allow their performance to do their talking for them with the mouth as well, others will follow along. I just think it's amazing what young people are doing today. In fact, I feel old even talking about it. Forbes came out with some interesting reports about the University of Oklahoma and its football program. In fact, from 2014 to 2016, OU brought in an average of $118 million, which makes them the number six most valuable college football program in America. The only other Big 12 school to get close to them was Texas, who was at $133 million and the number two program overall. OU not only ranks sixth nationally in revenue, but they're the fourth most profitable college football program, tied with Notre Dame at $72 million. So what does that mean? Well, one, OU's very rich and they're able to build a lot of really cool things, and you benefit from that as well. But two, there's a brand there that OU has to protect, and it's not just Jordan. It's not just the logo on the side of the helmet or the front of their jersey. There's something a heck of a lot bigger there. And what is that OU brand, and how you define it, and how do you make sure that that brand stays intact? Well, for me, what that brand is, just looking at it as a former student, as sort of an outsider, as somebody who has to cover them, it's a brand that's obviously championship level. And you have to maintain that level. It's what I call OU Alabama Light right now. That it's Alabama Light. There are so many similarities between the OU program and the Alabama program, from colors to fans to their impact on the state to having that rival that's the interstate rival or intrastate rival. There's all that kind of goes part and parcel. The only thing OU hasn't had are the championships that Alabama has. And with bringing in Lincoln Riley and Joe Castiglione making that move to bring in Lincoln Riley when Bob Stoops decided he was going to leave, you can tell that it's Lincoln Riley's mission to get OU back up to that level that Alabama was at. Listen to this guy talk. Look at the people he's recruiting. Look at how much of a focus it was for Lincoln Riley to go after guys on defense, make the defensive recruiting just as good, if not better, than the offensive recruiting, and bring in high-level defensive players and make OU a school that is not just strictly known for offense, because that's what the brand is to a lot of other people, is, hey, it's an offensive school. And Justin Broyles said, hey, worries of defense. We're tired of being told that. So it's a brand now that's not just about offense, but it's getting to be about defense too. And you bring in a guy like Shane Beamer, you're also getting recognized now for your special teams. And it's about maintaining that year in, year out, never letting it slack off, never getting complacent, and taking that drive that Nick Saban has, which I thought at some point was unmatched in college football. I think Lincoln Riley may have that drive. Now, what Lincoln Riley had, and where I will tell you Lincoln Riley has an advantage over Nick Saban, is Lincoln Riley's younger. He relates to players better. There's a looser atmosphere around OU. Guys are a hell of a lot more relaxed, and they don't seem to be walking around as uptight as they were the last 3 years, or the last 3 years of the Bob Stoops era. Guys are having fun playing football again. And despite what Nick Saban says, you can win and have fun, and you can have fun before you win, and that can actually breed the other. That's essentially what OU is just trying to become more like Alabama, a more fun version of Alabama. And they're not that far from it. In fact, there were times when OU as a program throughout its history was better than Alabama. So now you're striving for that reputation where you're going to bring in hungry kids, kids who are tough, kids who want to win, kids who want to have fun and want to succeed. Whereas I would think the Texas brand is a little bit more of a country club. But I hope that explained it to you, and it's not all that convoluted. Maybe it sounded a little bit better in my head today. But that's what Joe Castiglione and Lincoln Riley are up against every year, and that is every year making sure that this thing gets better than it was the year before. And it sounds like something that's easy to do, but it's been proven in the years past by Bob Stoops. It's no easy task, and any letdown, and I can imagine when you've been on the job that is as hard as being a college football head coaching job, you want to relax? Nah, you got to have that Nick Saban mentality. There's a little bit of time to relax, but for the most part, you got to kick ass and take names. Coming up next, why Lincoln Riley is the most valuable Sooner.
This is Locked On Sooners, your team every day.
Locked On Thunder coming up later this afternoon. Should be out around 4. We'll talk about Russell Westbrook being out, what that means for Paul George, the rest of the starting five, and just what can Billy Donovan do during training camp? And Russ physically, do we need to worry more about him than maybe we did in the past, considering that he's starting to make that turn to 30? We'll get to all that on Locked On Thunder on Apple iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on Google and Alexa. Hey, real quick, I want to go back. I'm going to break a little bit of the podcast rules here. But I want to go back to what we were talking about last segment about OU being a more fun Alabama. This is Justin Broyles. I want to play Justin Broyles for you here. This is Justin Broyles talking about guys that he knows at other schools who would rather be in Norman.
Man, you know, it's a blessing. You know, I got a couple guys that go to other schools, and they tell me, how, you know what I'm saying, they wish they were kind of in other places with other different coaches because they just don't like the coach. But, you know, when you hear with Coach Riley, he just lets you be yourself. You know, if you're doing the right things on and off the field, he won't complain. You know, if like me, I'm a very energetic, talkative guy. If you see me, like, doing something wrong over and over again, he, JV, all right, cool down, lock in, you know. But once I get back right, he tell me, pick the energy up, JV, pick it up, let's go.
And that's something my former co-host Anthony Fogle always told me. Keep it fun. If I'm not keeping it fun, then there's a reason kids are leaving. And it is my responsibility as a coach to make it fun. And I always thought Anthony was crazy when he said that. It was like, well, why is it your responsibility? As a kid, you got to do your due diligence. You got to investigate the program. You got to know what's going on. And if you don't know what you're walking into, then that's more your fault than the coaches. He says, nah, that's all on the coaches. It's got to be the coaches. So, Anthony, it's a little late, but yes, sir, you've got a very good point. Point well made and point playing out in Norman, Oklahoma with Lincoln Riley. Addison Gums is off to Oregon State. Congratulations to him. I'm very glad that he's found a home to land at, and it's going to be close to where he's from in California. And the connection there is to Sean Wilson, who is a corner at Oregon State. Those two played in high school together. And maybe one of the reasons, probably the biggest reason, why Addison Gum chose to transfer to Oregon State. But also Tristan Gebbia, former quarterback in Nebraska, and Avery Roberts, former outside linebacker at Nebraska, have also transferred to Oregon State. And this always makes me wonder about what exactly happens in college football and how much recruiting goes on of kids who are already in programs. And it has to. Maybe not by the coaches directly, although I would think the coaches are heavily involved in this. But if you're Addison Gums and you're at a high school where you've got a few D1 prospects, or let's say there's two or three, and everybody ends up spreading around the country. This kind of goes back to what Justin Broyles was saying. He was talking to his friends at other programs. Well, people talk, and you know who's happy and who's not happy, and it doesn't take much for an Addison Gums to call his friend in Corvallis, Oregon, them have a conversation about him being hurt, him being down, and him saying he's not happy in Norman, whether it's the town, being far from home, having to deal with the coaches, whatever the situation is. And then the kids say, well, hey, look, let me put in a word for you with my guys. And then all of a sudden, everybody's connected. I'm not saying that anything was nefarious here in this situation. And I would also think that it's in Lincoln Riley's best interest and every other coach's best interest that when a kid is going to transfer, that you actually help him find a place to go. Because what you want, I think it only helps in your recruiting, because what you want as a coach is a good reputation with kids, where maybe an Addison Gums does transfer, but he's back in his hometown. Oklahoma's in on another kid. And Addison Gums may want him to come to Oklahoma State, but the kid says, hey, I'm leaning towards Oklahoma. You went there, you transfer. What's the deal? What's the coaching staff like? And if Addison Gums can say, well, hey, no, it's all good. I left because I wanted to be closer to home. They helped me get to Oregon State. They will have your back. They have your best interest in mind. Then you're just going to get more kids to commit. If you are not that guy, if you are Nick Saban, or you are that guy like Cliff Kingsbury, where you're trying to block a guy from going to a particular school, even if it's in conference, then that can only hurt you with recruits and parents, especially now, since what we talked about in the last segment, everything being looked at as a business. So I still, though, think that as a coach, you still have to guard your players. You obviously don't want anyone that you put all the time and effort into to leave your program unhappy and be off someplace else and go contribute to them. But for Addison Gums, good luck at Oregon State. But keep an eye on Corvallis, Oregon over the next few years and just see how many kids, how many transfers they're using to build that program. And for them, it's a great model to use because obviously your talent wasn't that good, or there wouldn't have been a coaching change in the first place. Now you got to go out and get the talent. And if it's unhappy talent or disgruntled talent from another place, might as well get them. Everybody transfers for a reason, but there's no reason you shouldn't take a chance. And finally, Lincoln Riley, congratulations. You are the most valuable Sooner this week. It really doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what happens. through the rest of the week, but Riley took time out of his day this week to call a fan who is suffering from cancer. And I think her name is Lane Balzer. Actually, that's the daughter's name. It's Sass Balzer, who is, and I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing the name, but Lane, her daughter, was at Riley's coach's show, talked to Lincoln Riley, wanted to get an autograph. Riley sent an assistant coach out to talk to him, got Sass's phone number, and made the call and did everything he could to cheer her up. And one, it's extremely cool to do that. And I know a lot of coaches have made this call and gone and visited sick kids as well. And it's not something that you necessarily have to do. And I understand that if you want to be a cynic, there's always PR moves because these things happen to get out. But I choose not to take the cynical look at this. And what it says to me is that college football is still an extremely powerful sport. Even if the underbelly is not as clean as we want it to be, in fact, it's extremely filthy, the connection emotionally fans have to their teams, especially if they went to school there, is so incredibly powerful that one phone call from somebody in that program can just make that much of a difference in someone's day is enormous. And sometimes I don't always get it because the whole power of celebrity thing, and I would think you would all, you know, want to hear more from family members, but some people look at these college football programs as family, as they're part of the family, just because they wear the shirt or they have some sort of connection there, or they knew somebody that played there. And if you can go out and further cement that idea to your fans, then that's big time. Plus, it just shows, it shows heart and it shows character. And I'm glad Lincoln Riley would do that. And I know he's done that for several fans and gone to hospitals and visited people. And there's even a family that goes to my church. They're longtime OSU fans. I think both of them are OSU grads. Lincoln Riley visited their daughter and they had to make a tough decision about whether or not they were going to continue to root for OSU or have to start rooting for OU because of what Lincoln Riley did. But stuff like that, it gets to me. And so before I get any more choked up, I'm going to end this episode of Locked On Sooners. I'm going to thank you for listening, and I'm going to ask that God bless you and your family, and that everybody love everyone. And as always, peace and love, and Boomer Sooner.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell Alexa or Google to play podcasts Locked On. Don't worry, I won't finish. You get the idea.